This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
This is Judy Benjamin.
Oh, my!
That's for the future, not Lord and Taylor. Oh,
all her life, she got everything she ever wanted. And a few things she didn't.
I did join the Army, but I joined a different Army. I joined the one with the condos and the private rooms.
In the 1980 film Private Benjamin, Goldie Hawn plays a city girl who's duped into joining the Army. The joke, of course, is that far from the glamorous life she was promised, she ends up in boot camp, a trying, humiliating experience that pushes her physical and emotional limits. Nowadays, when people talk about boot camp, they're most likely referring to grueling workout routines designed to get people into shape fast. But when Amy Richards and Jennifer Baumgardner offer their boot camp in New York City, it is not military training or abs of steel they promise. It is feminism. And Amy Richards is here to tell us more. Welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly is feminist boot camp?
Feminist boot camp is a week-long intensive where mostly college students, undergraduate, graduate, professors, faculty, unaffiliated, come and experience feminism in action. Each day is a different theme: philanthropy, media, sexual rights, reproductive justice, religion, and immerses themselves both in sort of an awareness of what organizations are out there prioritizing it and also workshops on how one can deepen their knowledge on these issues. And the point is both to connect the dots of feminism, meaning that it's not what I think it's always portrayed to be in the media. It affects every aspect of our life. It affects every issue. It's also meant to kind of expose people to the sort of practical application of feminism. What does it actually mean when somebody practices feminism, and how can that be a part of their daily lives, and if not, their professional lives?
Well, I mean, this is coming at a time when many women do not describe themselves as feminists, don't even like the connotation. Aren't the people who would sign up for a feminist boot camp already sort of true believers?
I'm surprised that each session we've done, and we're, I think, going on 12, there is always one, two, three, four people who sort of say, I don't really know what feminism means to me. In our last session, we had a daughter who came and who felt very connected to feminism, an undergraduate student, and she brought her mother along. And her mother came along because she cared about her daughter and saw this was something that her daughter cared about. And she was one of those people who thought, I've never really thought about feminism. And I think she left one of the biggest converts and even said, I think I might have to get a new job by the end of the week. And we've had other people who are really encouraged by their professors who say, I just think you might get something out of this. Other people are sort of encouraged by a friend. And I think some people see it as a job, you know, exposure journey and think, oh, okay, well, the feminism is secondary, and then get on the trip and inevitably everybody sort of realizes, oh my gosh, this feminism is more a part of my life than I ever realized. Mm.
I think of boot camp and I think of people running through tires and doing squats and things. What are some of the exercises you put campers through?
Well, the most rigorous, I would say, in terms of physical fitness, a more traditional boot camp, is we have done some wonderful self-empowerment, self-defense trainings, mm-hmm. and they get in their sweat pants and they get to scream no, and they, you know, have a man dressed up in tons of armor, and they get to kick and scream and yell. And that said, as much as it's a physical exercise, it's really an emotional one. It's learning what our boundaries are. It's learning, you know, whether it's our mother or our boss or a potential perpetrator, how we can say, no, that doesn't make me feel comfortable, and getting women to realize when they do feel safe and comfortable. We've also done something called Streb, which is the mastermind of this amazing...
Oh, Elizabeth Streb.
Elizabeth Streb, yeah. Right. And she... You know, we've taken the students there, and they do what are called clump drops, and they hang on bars, and they do trapeze. And again, it's in its obvious state a physical exercise, but it's really an emotional exercise. It's getting them to realize what their bodies are capable of, and, you know, to be an adult and do those exercises and realizing what your comfort levels are. It's a wonderful. It leaves people feeling really invigorated and strong.
For those who don't know, Elizabeth Streb has a dance company that really pushes the physical limits of what they do. Their dancers are always getting injured, but it is about sort of learning to fall on some level. Okay, so you mentioned men, women defending themselves against men. Do only women come to feminist boot camp?
Every session we've done, we've always had a male participant or a transgender or someone transitioning. And many, so not only are the participants very inclusive of men, I mean, that said, women definitely dominate, but many of the meetings that we have throughout the week, there are male representatives, you know, and it could be that we're going to NARAL Pro-Choice New York, and the director of their advocacy program is a young man, and he's talking to them, or we might go to the Novo Foundation and talk about philanthropy, and the person who does their social emotional learning is a man, and he might do some of the philanthropy exercise with us. So men are also a part of the week. And I think also important is that the masculinity is a part of the week and challenging, I think, what still happens in culture, which is that we've done a wonderful job of empowering women. We've not done a great job of deflating the value of masculinity, and that's something that can benefit women who don't typically sort of fit into those stereotypes, and any man who isn't sort of neatly, you know, adhering to what society has defined as being a good man or a, you know, for the value of masculinity.
Well, that's interesting. It makes me wonder why you use a terminology like boot camp, which has long stood for, you know, enhancing masculinity, for training men, for prepping them for war.
It's funny, we've gone through different names, and the camp name really sticks, and it is most likened to a camp experience, meaning you kind of arrive and you don't really know who your bunkmates are going to be, and you don't know a lot of the people in the group, and you're sort of thrown into it, and the days are long, and I mean, we don't sing Kumbaya, but we have moments like that throughout the week. And then, you know, we've sort of taken sometimes to the boot and then left the boot. And, you know, and it's funny that even when we don't call it boot camp, other people do call it boot camp. And so I do think there is just something about the rigorousness of it that people can embrace. And now that women can be on the front line of combat, I think that we're less scared of what the boot camp connotation can bring.
Well, Amy, I'm sorry we're going to run out of time, but I'm curious. The HBO show Girls, the new book, Bleep, I'm in My 20s. We have these millennial portraits of women as lost, as immature, lacking confidence, really the antithesis of a feminist. Is that your experience?
It's not my experience at all. I mean, I see young women and I think, oh my gosh, I wish I was that confident and strong when I was that age. I mean, even Lena Dunham, you know, the mastermind behind Girls, feeling confident that you can pitch your own show and go out there and do it and be in control and not necessarily be a predictable starlet to do that in is amazing. And I see that in less famous versions every single day. I see young women more willing to take up space and more willing to say that doesn't work for me. And that's a wonderful consequence of feminism.
It's a week-long feminist boot camp, $1,000 in tuition. How do students afford it?
Most students have their universities cover the cost, and we work with a number of universities to make that possible. And it's the inverse of what we do, what another aspect of Soapbox. We book speakers to go to college campuses and speak, and this is bringing the campus to the speakers. And universities, I think, really see it as added value, that if they invest $1,000 in a student, that one student's going to have that experience, but they're going to bring it back to their campus, and they're going to hold brown bag lunches, and they're going to say, we need to bring this amazing speaker. We need to do a workshop on this. I just learned about this great group. I just read this great study. And so they see the added value. Other people are a little bit more scrappy, and they get their, you know, families and friends and neighbors sort of in a, you know, a walk-a-thon way and get people to sponsor them. And of course, we do offer scholarships, and we do every time offer a free spot.
Amy Richards, co-director of the Feminist Boot Camp and co-author of the book Manifesta, Young Women, Feminism, and the Future. Thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you're too young or too far from New York City to attend Amy's boot camp, there are plenty of ways to learn more about female empowerment, including a trio of teachers who don't have credentials, but do have sugar, spice, everything nice, and one accidental extra ingredient, Chemical X.
Thus, the Powerpuff Girls were born. Using their ultra superpowers, Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup have dedicated their lives to fighting crime and the forces of evil.
The smart, fearless Powerpuff Girls ushered in a new era of girl power on TV. When the cartoon went off the air in 2005, fans were reduced to watching reruns and collecting stickers, lunchboxes, and other merchandise. They'll be happy to know that the Cartoon Network just announced the return of Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup, along with a new character, a math teacher named Fibonacci Sequins, who will be voiced by none other than Ringo Starr. So while the Powerpuff Girls are not exactly following in the footsteps of Simone de Beauvoir, they're a great alternative to muscly male superheroes and Barbie. You gotta start somewhere.